Our scripture reading this morning is in Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. So this morning we'll be reading from Isaiah 6, verses 9 through 10. And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed."
Good morning. We're glad you're all here today. This is always a good place to be. The weather's nice. It's calm and peaceful outside. This sermon is entitled, "The Right Attitude." Attitude is everything, isn't it? It sets our mind in a certain position to receive the message as it's intended, in this case, to receive God. This could be called, "How shall we come to God?" Shall we pray? Father, forgive us for our callousness. Every day you try to waken us to our danger of losing what is so dear to us, our lives, our very being, our souls. Each of us is unique, and in all your creation, there is not another one of each of us. And you know each of us individually by the very essence of who we are. You know us better than we know ourselves. Help us to see that although we live in the shadow of your unfailing love for us, that we are truly in the land of the enemy, and he interferes with your will and your purposes, trying to destroy us. Help us not to be lulled to sleep, but to focus on your eternal truth, and someday you will explain to us what all our trials have been for, and why every item has needed to be done according to your will, and we will see that your works were for our good as you guided us toward eternal life, even though we were ungrateful and we tended to ignore you so often. Forgive us. We have not understood the magnitude of what we have done. You have all authority and power in your universe, but so often we choose to follow our own ways, and at those times you can only mourn our choice to go our own way, and all the heavenly host are amazed that we do this so often. Father, we look forward to the day when thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Preserve us in your fold until that day of unspeakable gladness when we will only have eyes and hearts for you, and we will spend eternity marveling over your greatness, and we will be unable to understand why you do all that you do for us. Please speak to us now. Open our minds to your truth, for we pray this in the name of Jesus, that name above all names. Amen. This sermon is about your personal relationship with God. It's about you giving God a chance in your life to experience for yourself that he is who he says he is. This interaction between you and God is not like two people playing a game of chess where the players have equal status. In this relationship between you and God, God made the rules a long time ago, but it is your choice whether or not to accept his offer. His rules will not change because they're consistent with who and what God is, and God does not change. He is totally reliable and trustworthy. The rules do not change, but you can be assured that the rules are fair. In fact, they are more than fair, because mankind should have been eradicated when Adam and Eve violated the conditions of the relationship, when they betrayed their loyalty to God and followed their own thoughts and feelings instead of the conditions of that royal covenant. In normal life, in our interactions with other people, we experience lies, cheating, greed, selfishness, all kinds of bad things that can cause us to be less trusting, less hopeful for the future. And as part of this world, we interact with it, and we've become a lot like it. So we tend to love the things in the world, and God tends to have a faraway presence in our lives. So a lot of times we don't think about God, except when something sad or difficult happens to us, and we become stressed. And then we tend to blame God for what happened. We may question the good of God in our hearts. After all, he causes bad people to burn forever. He's supposed to be good, but there is still so much bad happening in the world. Good people have terrible things happen that they did not seem to deserve. And bad people seem to live a long time, and they keep hurting people. God offers to all men forgiveness of sin and the restoration of a life with him. It is totally your decision whether you accept his offer. The prize is wonderful, a forever in paradise. But you ask, if the prize is so wonderful, then why don't more people take advantage of the offer? That's a good question. But the focus of this transaction is you individually. Out of all the 7.71 billion people on the earth at this time, Christ would have come to this place if you were the only person, because he really wants you to be in heaven with him. That was his plan for you from before you were born. Remember, God is like no other being. You cannot compare him to other people around you. He does not make any mistakes. He does not lie. He does not change. He makes the rules for our relationship with him, and they are totally fair. He works tirelessly to lead us to an association with him, and he limits Satan's ability to inflict harm on the earth and on mankind. Having a relationship with God is a little bit like trying out a new car. You can look around at the models at the dealership. You can read about how other owners rate that model. But for you, nothing is the same as owning and driving it for a while to find out if it's right for you. It's not being fair to yourself to only rely on others' experiences. Checking out a new car is not an accurate comparison to drawing near to God, but putting him to the test, opening your heart to him, is what he is looking for. A relationship is a two-way street. Actually, he has reached out to you on many occasions in your life, though you did not discern him. For you were too busy handling the battles of life by yourself. He has brought about circumstances in your life that were just what you needed to help you see your need for him. He knows that you are hearing this sermon right now. Everything that happens to you is about your eternal life. You are his child. You will always be his child. He was involved in all aspects of your life, to this point in time and to the completion of your days and beyond. He's the keeper of your soul. Almighty God. And he says, come, come into my rest, all you who are weary and heavy laden with the rigors and sadness of this place. Relationship, that's what God wants with us. Consider the story of the woman who touched Christ's garment. It was not the physical touch that cured her, but as Christ said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. She believed that she would be made whole. She talked of religion in a casual way. To pray without soul hunger and living faith avails nothing. A relationship with Christ in name only, which accepts him merely as the Savior of the world, can never bring healing to the soul. Our relationship with God, our Father in heaven, wants to guide us along paths of peace and fruitfulness, and we would have a blessed existence if we are willing to follow his guidance. He has all authority in heaven and earth, yet he stoops down to guide us in our daily trials. He is the all-knowing Father, better than any earthly father, and he wants to help with all our needs. In his word, he has provided us with a guidebook for this life so we can learn how to follow him into the next. God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This statement should make it clear enough and help us to be submissive to our Lord and Savior. With our humanity, we are very limited in what we can understand and what we can do. We are finite, oh so limited, and life is short. We come and we go, but our God lives forever. It's comforting to know that we may have the help of one who is greater than we are. Like when we were little children, we could be brave and venture forth maybe even 10 feet from the legs of our parent. We could do that so long as we were sure that there was a safe place for us to return to. It's good to know that we have a Heavenly Father to turn to, isn't it? God is in a different plane. Can we know everything about God? Are we supposed to know everything about God? Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven, what canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. It is impossible for finite minds to fully comprehend the character or the works of the Infinite One. This is our tendency, though. We cannot put God in a box, though we would like to. For eternity, God will remain a mystery to us, but we may know of him, of his works to the children of men. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. The word of God directs our mind to the Creator. It calls our attention to subjects of infinite depth and importance relating to the government of God and the destiny of men. All that God has seen fit to make known, we are to accept upon the authority of his word. Only a bare statement of facts may be given, but though we cannot comprehend it, we should rest content that it is true, because God has said it. End of discussion. Find your rest in God. Peace. Be still. The Apostle Peter says that there in Scripture are things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable struggle with unto their destruction. The very grandeur and mystery of the themes presented should inspire faith in it as the Word of God. The Bible unfolds truth with a simplicity and a perfect adaptation to the needs and longings of the human heart, while it enables the humble and uncultured to discern the way of salvation. And yet, these simply stated truths lay hold upon subjects so elevated, so far-reaching, so infinitely beyond the power of human comprehension that we can accept them only because God has declared them. Thus, the plan of redemption is laid open to us so that every soul may see the steps he is to take in repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved in God's appointed way. Beneath these truths lie mysteries which overpower the mind, and the more we search the Bible, the deeper is our conviction that it is the word of the living God. And human reason bows before the majesty of divine revelation. I used to think, like a lot of people, that God was way out there, mysterious, untouchable, and aloof from us. But really, he is near and very present with us as we seek him in spirit and in truth. The Lord intended that we find ourselves compelled to accept some things solely by faith. To acknowledge this is only to admit that the finite mind is inadequate to grasp the infinite. But because they cannot fathom all its mysteries, the skeptic and the infidel reject God's word. Says the apostle, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." Strong words. It is not a good idea to wring words out of Scripture that God did not intend. It is Satan's work to pervert the powers of the mind, and a certain pride is mingled with the exploration of Bible truth so that men feel defeated and impatient if they cannot explain every portion to their satisfaction. They feel that their unaided human wisdom is sufficient to enable them to comprehend Scripture, and then they deny its authority. Had there been no mysteries in the Bible for them to question, the same minds,
because of their lack of spiritual discernment,
would have been stumbling in the plainest utterances of God. In other words, if some people are going to stumble, they'll stumble on anything. But yet we're told, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Honest seekers will find what they're looking for. There are men who imagine themselves endowed with mental powers so high that they can find an explanation of all the ways and works of God. They're seeking to exalt human wisdom to an equality with the divine. But they're only repeating that's what had Satan had declared to Eve in Eden, "Ye shall be as gods." And Satan fell because of his ambition to be equal with God. It was his pride that led to his rebellion, and by the same means, he seeks to cause the ruin of mankind. But if it were possible for created beings to attain to a full understanding of God and his works, then, having reached this point, there would not be anything further for us to discover. No growth in knowledge, no further development of mind or heart. To all eternity, men may be ever learning, and yet they can never exhaust the treasures of his wisdom, goodness, and power. Do we enjoy learning new things? There will ever be things to explore and expand our minds in heaven. We can attain to an understanding of God's word only through the illumination of that spirit by which the word was given. The things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. God desires man to exercise his reasoning powers, and the study of the Bible will strengthen and elevate the mind as no other study can do. We must have the simplicity and faith of a little child, ready to learn and beseeching the aid of the Holy Spirit, a sense of the power and wisdom of God and of our inability to comprehend his greatness should inspire us with humility, and we should open his word as we would enter his presence with holy awe. Reason must acknowledge an authority superior to itself, and heart and intellect must bow to the great I Am. We shall advance in true spiritual knowledge only as we realize our own littleness and our entire dependence upon God. Sometimes men of intellectual ability fail to comprehend, while others who are uneducated will grasp the meaning, finding strength and comfort because they do not rely on their own understanding. They go to the source of light, the one who has inspired the scriptures, and with humility of heart ask God for wisdom, and they'll receive it. We must dig for it, however, like it was really important to us. Our success in finding it does not depend so much on our intellectual ability as to our humility of heart and faith, which will lay hold upon divine aid. When the word of God is opened without reverence, without prayer, when the thoughts and affections are not fixed upon God or in harmony with his will, the mind is clouded with doubt, and in the very study of the Bible, skepticism strengthens. The enemy takes hold of the thoughts, and he suggests interpretations that are not correct.
Whenever men are not
seeking, in word and deed, to be in harmony with God, then, however learned they may be, they are liable to err in their understanding of Scripture, and it is not safe to trust their explanations. When we are truly seeking to do God's will, the Holy Spirit takes the precepts of his word and makes them the principles of life, writing them on the tablets of the soul. And it is only those who are following the light already given them that can hope to receive more illumination from the Holy Spirit. In the words of Christ, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. To sum it up, all men are created in the image of God. Just as sin has marred the face of God in creation, sin has tarnished the image of God in man. We are now 6,000 years since creation's pristine condition. For those people who think they can evaluate the reality of a personal relationship with God from the sidelines, God has a few recommendations, if you will. Here are three verses. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Let's paraphrase this. How does this sound? The Lord is good. Therefore, try him. And that is when you will discover for yourself that he is good. Verse 2. But if thou seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And verse 3. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. He will touch your soul. There have been atheists and agnostics, intelligent and thoughtful people, who did personal research to try and disprove God, but they were honest, and their journey led them to a personal relationship with God. So there have been some of those, but what matters in your case is between you and your God. Father, we thank you for your being with us so faithfully. Give us faith, give us hope, for we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.